This morning, as we come, we're going to be looking at the Easter story. And there's, when you look at it throughout the four different Gospels, and all four Gospels record this morning, because this morning is so incredibly important. When you look at it through all four Gospels, you might get a little bit confused about exactly what happened. Because if you look in the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find it says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the graveside to look. If you look in Mark chapter 16, it says Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Solomon, brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus. But they were wondering how they were going to get in to put the anointing spices on the body. In Luke chapter 24, it says the women, it doesn't say who it was, it just says the women took spices. In John chapter 20, it just says Mary Magdalene went the graveside. If you look in Matthew, it tells us, and he's the only one who says in Matthew, that there was an earthquake that shook the ground, and that was the angel that came down and rolled away the stone. But none of the other Gospels record the earthquake or the angel who rolled away the stone. In Mark, there was only one angel, and he was in the tomb. In Matthew, there was one angel, but he was sitting on top of the rock that he just rolled away. In Luke, there were two angels, and they appeared to Mary as she was in the tomb. But in John, there were two angels, but the angels didn't appear in John's Gospels until after Peter and John had already left. You're saying, well, this is really confusing. Why are all these different stories? What's going on here? It was in John that records that Simon, the one who went and got Jesus' body, And Zacchaeus, no, not Zacchaeus, Simon, and who was the priest that went to see him before early in the, at night? Nicodemus. It says in John that Simon and Nicodemus anointed the body before they put it in the burial tomb, and they're the only ones that recorded that. And so some people are wondering, if Simon and Nicodemus anointed the body with these spices, why was Mary coming with other spices? And that one's real easy to explain in my mind, because I do stuff all the time, and my wife watched me do it, and she comes and redoes it anyway, because I didn't do it right. That's easy to explain. But why all these differences? Why all these different contradictions, seemingly contradictions? I think it's because that morning was so exciting, was so fast-paced, was so quick, was so mind-numbing and mind-boggling. It was going so quickly and so rapidly and so unexpected and so amazing and so incredible. It was like watching an accident from all these different viewpoints, and the excitement that each person has and the visions that they see and the things that they remember. But it's strange to me that all four Gospels, all four, agree on one thing. The stone was rolled away. All four of them say it almost in the exact same way. The stone was rolled away before Mary or Mary Magdalene or Mary and the other Mary or the women who came. Before they got there, the stone was rolled away. Why was the stone rolled away? You know, this week, I have no idea why, but for some reason, I thought I was going to be able to get away from it. I felt like I had to make a stone. For some reason, I felt like I had to do this little scene that we had out there this morning. I don't know if you noticed it, and I hope you did. I hope you saw it. I had to make a stone. I had to make this rock that I wanted to put in front of the Nativity Cave. I wanted to create that scene. And it was almost kind of weird, because I was almost like fixated on getting this stone created. And it wasn't easy. It was all kinds of troubles and all kinds of problems getting that put together, and Kathy painting it and all the different things that went into making it. And I was kept wondering, why is this stone so important? Why is this rock, this stone, this big stone so important? Why did it have to be rolled away? And the reason I asked that question, because if you look in the Gospel of John, on that day, the very day that Christ arose. It says in verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Did you hear that? They were in the room, the upper room, supposedly, some people think. They're in this upper room. They're all together, and they were actually scared because they didn't know exactly what was going on still. They were still uncertain of what the events of that day were transpiring. So they were in a locked room. They were probably afraid that the guards of the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees or the upper council were going to come in and arrest them for stealing the body, for accusing them of stealing the body or taking it away. But they were in this locked room, and you notice what it says real quickly here. It says they were in the locked, doors locked, for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, isn't it interesting that the stone was rolled away, but Jesus later that day, the walls didn't bother him. The locked doors didn't bother him. There was nothing that kept Jesus from appearing within that room. He didn't crawl through a window. The resurrected body is such a form and such a way that it can go through walls. And it's not a ghost, it's not a spirit, it's not just some apparition, because he says, "Here, touch me, touch my hand." He says, "Give me something to eat. I'm going to show you that I'm real. I'm not just some spirit. I'm not just some floating image." He says, "I'm real, but this body has amazing capability." You see, the stone didn't have to be rolled away for Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think when the stone was rolled away, he was already gone. He was already on the duty that God had called him to do. So why was the stone rolled away? Why did all four gospel accounts have to record that the stone was rolled away? I think the stone was rolled away for the very same reason that Jesus was born in a stable. That he was laid in a manger. I think Jesus and the stone was rolled away for the very same reason that Jesus said to the disciples, he says, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. I think the stone was rolled away for the very same reason that Jesus did not stay in one spot throughout his entire ministry. He moved from place to place. He went to this hillside and that hillside. He went to this village and to that village. He went to this synagogue and that synagogue. I think the stone was rolled away for the very same reason that he was waiting at the well when the Samaritan woman came. It was no accident. He planned to be there. He planned to be there by himself. I think the stone was rolled away for the very reason that the veil in the temple was torn in two. See, the stone was rolled away not for Jesus. The stone was rolled away for you. It was rolled away for you so that you could go and look and see and know that the tomb is empty. There's nothing there but a rock and a burial cloth and an empty tomb. It's there for you to look and to see and to know that he is alive. He's not there. He's going ahead of us. He's smoothing the path. He's creating the way.
Now, real quickly, what did you do when you pulled in this morning? It was just a little bit of an experiment for me. I kind of wanted to see how you would react to what was out in our very own parking lot, a very safe place. I mean, it's, you know, nothing was going to jump out. Did you drive in the parking lot and were you quick to just come into the church? Did you pause at your car and look and think, "Well, that's cool. That's pretty neat." Did you take a few moments and walk a few extra steps? Peek inside? Yep. Did you look? Did you see where he was laid? Did you see the clothes that was on his body? Did you see the head wrap that was folded neatly and
placed at his head. You know, some people think that, you know, he really didn't raise from the dead. Some people may believe the idea that the disciples came and stole Jesus out of the tomb. You know, that's a widely scattered report. The Pharisees and the high priests wanted to make sure that story got out there. There's only a little bit of a problem with me for that idea, because what was in the tomb didn't make a lot of sense. You see, if you're going to steal something, let's pretend that this is a bag of money, and I've got this bag of money right here, and it's all wrapped up, and you know it's a bag of money because it's got the big money sign on the bag, okay, and it's kind of tied up at the top, all right, and it's a big bag. And you know inside the bag are like these bundles of money that have that, you know, that little wrap that goes around because says this is, you know, $1,000 worth of 100s or however they do that increments in the bank. You know, they've got this wrap money in this wrap bag, and so they've got it here right here. So the bank robber, when they come in to rob a bank, all right, do they go into the vault and grab the bags of money and open the bag and then take the money out of the bag and then take the wrapper off the money and just take the money and go and just grab that money as much as they can hold and run out of the bank? Is that how they do it? Does anyone do that? No. What do you do when you go rob the bank? Because you know, usually when you're... when I go rob a bank... I go in and I just grab the whole bag because time is of the essence. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a little bit worried about what people might see me. And so I don't want to get caught. So I just grab the whole bag and I run. Right? Correct? Think about this just for a second. So if the disciples were going to come in and steal the body, would they take time to unwrap the body? To take the burial cloth off of his head and fold it, because it tells us it's folded and placed just oh so neatly on the stone. Think about it. In all the movies I've ever watched, if there's a dead body, they don't unwrap the body. They don't take the clothes off. They usually grab a carpet and they wrap the body up before they take it out. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't stolen. He was changed in a twinkling of an eye, in the flash in the sky. At the trumpet sound, he was changed into what each and every one of us will be changed into. A new being, a new creation, with a new body, with a new purpose for eternity. You see, that's what this morning is about. The tomb is empty. The thing is, have you sought him? Did you take the time to look? Are you taking the time to look for him, to seek him, to find him? You see, he's made himself available. He's given plenty of evidence every single day. He's putting himself in places that we can find him if all we'll do is seek him. He will let us know the truth. He will allow us to be the witness that he called us to be if we will seek him, if we will look for him. If it's important for us to take the time to know him, he's there. There's passage after passage after passage through the Old Testament, through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, through the Proverbs, through the Isaiah, through Deuteronomy. There's passage after passage after passage that says, seek him while you might find him. Seek him and know that he is God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added unto you. Are you looking for him? Honestly? Are you seeking him? Do you know that he's there? That he's not just some story that happened 2,000 years ago, but he is alive today, right now, as he ever was. He still walks. and he still talks. He still fellowships. And he's waiting. You know, it's interesting in the story that Mary came to the grave of Jesus, probably out of devotion, out of love, maybe out of obligation with the spices to anoint the body. It tells us in the stories in the Gospels that John and Peter ran to the graveside. It tells us that John stopped short of going in, but he stopped and just kind of peeked. Peter was a little bit slower, and he just ran right in. And then John followed him. My question has always been, all my Christian life, my question has always been, why was it just those two that ran to the tomb? Where was the other nine? What was their reason for not seeking, for not looking, for not wanting to know what was going on? Was it fear that kept them from seeking him? Was it disbelief? I've always wanted to know why, when the guards who had fallen down in fright when the angel appeared in the earthquake, I always wanted to know when they went and reported to the high priest and those who were in charge, when they went and reported, why didn't the high priest and those in charge come and look at the empty grave? What was their excuse? Did they not really want to know? I always thought it was amazing that Jesus didn't wait for everyone to come and look at the empty grave. He went to them. I always thought it was amazing that he appeared to John and Peter behind those closed doors and to the rest of the disciples and later on to Thomas. He sought them out. He put himself in a place where they could reach out and touch him and know that it is real. You see, what Jesus desires more than anything else is that we are eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses to his reality. What Jesus wants more than anything else is for us to know that he is alive. That he's available. You see, he wants us to seek him. And to know him. And not just know him, but accept him. You see, that's why John wrote in his epistle, that which I have seen, which I have heard, which I have touched, which I have felt, this I proclaim concerning the word of life. Do you know him? Have you sought him out? If they're not, there's no better time than this morning to just take a few minutes and to look at the empty tomb, to see that it's empty, to go to your home and to seek him, to open your word and to hear him, to look at creation and to see the wonders of his hands. There's no better day than to start this new relationship with Christ, or to refresh it in such a way that he is so real. That relationship is so real that you can't help but talk about it. That you'll find a boldness that goes beyond what the world understands for Christianity. You see, in the simplest sense, he is risen. He is risen indeed. We serve a mighty God. And today of all days, we need to celebrate that he is alive and well in our lives. Let's stand as we sing.